Now, continuing in the vigilant introspection, the chapter 5 of Bodhichayavatara, and we are talking about the second sila or good conduct of how to accumulate more positive deeds. And we are now on stanza number 76. Extol their qualities discreetly. When they are praised by others, pray them. When they are praised by others, praise them too. So, if you see or you meet or you hear about the good beings, great beings, then try to, try to inculcate, try to extol their positive qualities in yourself discreetly. Yes, discreetly means, slowly and, not making a big deal about that, but, and not talking too much about that. I'm getting this, I'm trying to do like that or like this, but indiscreetly, you try to get the good qualities, you try to accumulate good qualities, you learn from good qualities of others. When they are praised by others, praise them too. When somebody is praising somebody who is very positive, who is good, then you kind of, out of jealousy or out of envy or out of competitiveness or just being trying to say something kind of different, not reject those praises, not say something different or opposite to what others are saying, but you also join in your words to praise them too, because good people needs to be praised, need to be appreciated, and if others appreciate and praise, you should join force with them and praise them too. But when the qualities they praise are yours, if somebody is praising you or talking about good qualities that you have, then do not become proud. Do not make that go into your head, but reflect upon their skill in recognizing qualities. Then you think that, oh, that's very good, because this person knows what is a positive thing, so they see positive things in me because they have the capacity to see positive things in themselves, so therefore that's very good. They have that good quality, so I must respect them. I must feel I must feel the positive quality of that person who sees positive qualities in me, and do not let that thing go into your head, and it's very important. That's 76. Then 77, the goal of every act is happiness itself, though even with great wealth it is rarely found. So take your pleasure in the excellence of others. Let them be a heartfelt joy to you. All of us, we are looking for happiness, It's not from the Buddhist point of kind of way, but generally everybody, all the people, wants to be free from suffering and wants to have happiness, whatever you call it, happiness, joy, satisfaction, well-being, whatever you call it, that's what we are trying to get. And even through lots of wealth, even if you have lots of things and lots of money and lots of richness, other richness, wealth, it's not always easy to find true happiness. Real happiness is very rarely found. So we need to learn how to find happiness in ourselves, in every occasion. So if you know, and you can do that in everything. So take your pleasure in the excellence of others. If somebody is good at something, if somebody does something good, if somebody, you know, achieve something, use that as a way of, you know, getting pleasure or getting happiness to yourself. You just rejoice as that, and then you are happy. So that's why it is said again and again that if you want to be unhappy all the time for no reason, then you can, you know, you can be jealous and envious. If you want to be happy for no reason, then or no extra expenditure, then you have to be rejoicing. So this is what you have to do. Let them be heartfelt joy to you. You know, you just become very happy, very joyful, very rejoicing for yourself. That somebody did something good, said something nicely, did something good, somebody has some good qualities, very good, very nice, very wonderful, and you feel happy. And then that's, you know, as if that's, you know, very good reason to be happy, and you are happy, and that's very, very useful. Why not? So therefore, don't allow yourself to be unhappy because somebody did something good. And somebody has a good quality, or somebody has achieved something wonderful, that's terrible. That is not good for you. That's not good for anybody. And it's totally useless, waste of time for yourself. And so therefore, don't do that. That's very important. That's 77. 78, by acting thus, in this life, you will lose nothing. In future lives, great bliss will come to you. So if you act like this, as was discussed before, then you will lose nothing, you know, by praising others, by being rejoicing of others' good things, by wishing well to everybody else, by trying to be considerate with others, you know, wanting something positive to others. All these things will lose nothing for you. There's nothing is lost. And in future lives, great bliss will come to you. Not only in this life also, at this moment, at this very moment, you become happier, you become more positive, you have more friends, and so therefore you will be more successful. And in future lives, even better, great bliss will come to you. You will, because you become more positive, you become more, you know, peaceful, you become more kind, you become more joyful, you can become more peaceful. So therefore, you know, your state of mind, your realm, whatever you call it, have better and better. So therefore, and then eventually, maybe you'll even have more compassion, wisdom. So therefore, great bliss will come to you. And that's what you need. So therefore, you do it. Wrongdoing brings not joy, but pain. So if you do something negative, opposite to what has been discussing, that doesn't bring any joy to you. It makes you unhappy. And it brings pain to you and also to others. You know, if you are, you know, jealous, if you say bad things about other people, if you are unhappy because somebody has achieved something, if you're not considerate of others' needs and benefits, if you are, you know, unhappy, and you, if you don't wish well to others, then it will bring lots of pain to you and others, and it will not bring any good, any joy, any happiness, any satisfaction to you. And not, that's for now, and in the future even more, because, and in the future dreadful torment, because your habitual tendency, your personality will become like that, negative, hurtful, you know, insensitive, you know, unhappy, angry, upset. And then that's what brings you to negative realms and more like that. So therefore, it's very, very important to understand that, because this is how we, you know, what the practice of Dhamma is not about going away from your home and, you know, staying somewhere in the countryside only, you know. You can do that also, but that's not, this practice Dhamma is how you are, and that's now, and in every action of yours. Then, that is 78. Stanza number 79 now. Speak coherently, appropriately, clear in meaning, pleasantly. Rid yourselves of craving and aversion. Speak gently with moderation. So this is how you have to speak. The positive way of speaking, or the with speech you can accumulate more positive deeds, and that's speak coherently. It means speak that would be understood clearly by others. Appropriately means that is not disturbing others, or not, you know, not hurting others, or something that will bring a more positive understanding and attitude and emotions, not to say what should not be said, and say what you should not should, you know, shouldn't be said, not like that. So appropriately, clear in meaning, pleasantly. You have to say things clearly, what you want to say and what needs to be said, but also pleasantly, you know. Sometimes people think that I have to tell the truth, and I have to tell the truth, and then you just say something very rudely and just like attacking. I know people do that sometimes. I think they don't understand. They think that saying truth means, you know, saying it unpleasantly. That's very bad. You have to say things pleasantly, you know. It's also not always that you have to say everything that's in your mind. You know, I'm sure people would understand this, that whatever is going through my mind, I don't need to say it. I need to say things what is needs to be said, not everything. And whatever I need to say, then I need to say it. I need to try to say it in a way that is pleasantly, you know, not hurtingly, not, you know, not that would disturb people, not that would disturb the relationships with others, that would, you know, create problems. Sometimes people, it's all a way of saying, you know, manner of saying. Sometimes, you know, they think that, you know, I am in that mood, so therefore I said it. I was too tired, so therefore. That's wrong. If you are too tired, then don't say it. Then why do you write a mail when you are so tired? And then afterwards create so much trouble. And then you have to work so hard to, you know, to kind of remedy that. Why create more tension and more more work and more unhappiness? If you are too tired, that you would not say things rightly, or if you are too emotional, that you will not say things in a more pleasant way, don't say it. Delay it. It's better not said it than said it. So try to say things pleasantly. Rid yourself of craving and aversion. Craving, aversion, or sometimes we call it aversion and attachment. Because if your mind is too much occupied by aversion, fear, anxiety, and craving, greed, too much kind of tension, then you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't make a good expression. So therefore, when you are overcome or overpowered by these emotions, then let yourself rest and let your emotions kind of settle down before you speak. Because you need to speak gently with moderation. Moderation means not talking too much, not explaining enough. So these two, is talking too much is also not good, and not explaining enough is also not good. So try to understand that, and then how you say it gently, that you would not, not hurt people's feelings, because it's sometimes how you say things, not what you say things. So this is the way of speaking. And since, the human beings, the basic, the most important activity of human beings is the communication. So therefore, if we communicate well, that's a source of a great, benefit to everybody. And we can, lessen lots of the problems and conflicts. When you look at others, think that it will be through them that you will come to Buddhahood. So look on them with frank and loving hearts. So try to look at every sentient being. Not that, I'm going to help this person, or I have to help this person, this person, I have to try to do something to help. Not like that, that this person would be the cause of my, my enlightenment. Through this person, by helping this person, or by doing something for this person, actually the most benefit will be me. I will get the most benefit, because when I help, when I am compassionate, when I am kind, it's the most benefit is not taken by the person to whom you are kind, but yourself, because you accumulate positive deeds, wisdom and compassion, and therefore you become Buddha. So when you see somebody, you see that through these people, so therefore, you kind of appreciate them. So look at them with loving hearts, with frank and loving hearts, with respect, with kindness, with gratitude. You look at people with gratitude. And then this is the 81, always fired by highest aspiration, laboring to implement the antidotes. You will reap great virtues in the field of excellence, in the fields of benefit and sorrow. So, always fired by all the time, constantly, with a good aspiration, with good motivation, with bodhicitta, laboring to implement the antidotes. You try to, you try to do positive things, but also try to, implement the antidotes to your negative emotions and negative actions. And if you do that, then you will reap great virtues in the field of excellence. You will accumulate positive deeds, great positive deeds, like six paramitas and things like that. And that also you think that what you will do, you will, you cannot do everything. You cannot help everybody, but you have to choose especially the field of benefit and field of sorrow. Field of benefit means those who has been very kind to you, who has been very beneficial to you, like your parents, your teachers, your, you know, something of this, or who are very, you know, who are able to help others a lot, those kind of, if you help them, if you assist them, if you are, that is a very important thing, that's a great thing to do. And then another field is the sorrow, because if people are very, you know, sick people, destitute people, then who are, you know, going through very difficult times, you go through, you try to help them. And these are two fields of your actions, or fields of help, and the targets, your kind of object that you can help, and that will bring most positive deeds, is to these two things. That one are really great people, or that have been very, you know, helpful to you, or kind to you, or compassionate to you, like your teachers and friends, and, you know, parents and things like that. And another is those who are in great need and going through lots of suffering and pain. That's 81. 82, acting thus with faith and understanding, you should always undertake good works, and in whatever actions you perform, you should not be dependent on another. So thus with faith and understanding, you have to, you know, you have to see, you have to understand. You have to understand what you are doing and what would be the effect of that. And when you have real understanding, or more strong understanding, then you have faith. You know, faith is a clear understanding. So therefore, the more understanding you have, the more faith you have. And then and with this kind of clear understanding and faith, you should understand, you should undertake, you should act your good works, your what you do with your body, speech, and mind. And whatever actions you perform, you know, you know whether it's a very big project, or very big thing you do, or very small thing you do, or whatever you do, you should do what you can. You know, you should try to, but you should not be too dependent on it. You know, like you should not say that I want to do this, but nobody helps me. You know, I'm trying to do this, but you know, this person is not doing. This person is not doing. Like that. If you are too dependent on the others, then, you know, and not only that, your action will not be, you know, successful, but also. Then you will be blaming everybody for not having done. So it's not with that understanding that everybody should do, and so therefore it can should not like that. You have to take the responsibility. You have to do act accordingly. And if other people are doing it, it's good. Not you know, that's very good. But if the other people are not doing it, that's also very good. You know, you should not be totally dependent on what others are doing and not doing, and that's very, very important. The perfections, giving, and the rest. Progress in sequence, growing in importance. The great should never be abandoned for the less, and others' good should be regarded as supreme. Like six paramitas, you know, six perfections. The perfection of, you know, giving or generosity, the sila, discipline, patience, then diligence, meditation, wisdom. These are, you know, should be practiced in progress. First, you know, a little bit giving, and then next one, like sila, and then like that, growing in, because they are, in a way, they are, you know, taught in progression. First, generosity, then sila, then patience, like that. And these are in progress, and so this next is more important than the first one, in fact. So the great should not be, never be abandoned for the less. Something that is more important should not be sacrificed because of something lesser. So therefore, you know, you have to know what is more important than the others. Generosity is important, but discipline or kind of acting in a good conduct is in a way more important. Good conduct is important, but being patient is more important, and things like that. You should not sacrifice the latter, because of the former. So this is important. But then there's another way of looking at that. It's not always in this order. And others' good should be regarded as supreme. So what action you do would be more benefiting lots of people should be more important than, something that's only benefiting little, or something that's only benefiting yourself a little bit, something that's useful and benefiting more people, lots of people, in a greater way is more important to do than something. So this is, of course, it's important to know the priorities, to understand the priorities in the right order. So this is how it should be. This is 83. So I stop here. This is the end of the this second, second Shila, that is accumulating more positive deeds. So that's it. Thank you very much. 83.